Hi, welcome back. Right now in southern Lebanon, the Israeli Defense Forces, talk about a misnomer, is powering and pounding into southern Lebanon from the reports I can see online. You can see them just as well as I. We'll see. They're calling it a limited ground invasion, something along the lines that we're just going to go in there and destroy Hezbollah. It doesn't work that way. You know, and the greatest shame of this whole thing is the very simple fact that this is the U.S. / Israeli invasion of Lebanon and the U.S. / Israeli genocide of Gaza and the U.S. / Israeli crushing and destruction in the West Bank now, trying to drive those people out, and a lot of them have died already. This is your country. Those of you who live in the U.S., this is our country doing this formally, officially. It's not us, but this government that has overthrown our representative government of, by, and for the people is doing all this. And I don't know how much we've given Israel. What, $50 billion? I don't know. A lot. I think it's over $200 billion for Ukraine. It's crazy. It's the same people. Anyhow, another war being fought directly and indirectly by the U.S. Our planes, our bombs, our satellite intel, our intel, constantly being fed to Israel. So this, again, is not the country I grew up in at all. Mitchell Henderson is back tonight. Hello, Mitch. Welcome back. How goes it? I guess another war. That's what, five fronts Israel's fighting on now? I can't count them. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's, you know, what we're seeing is, you know, whether we realize it or not, nuclear war is not just inevitable, but it's imminent. Okay. So,
Mitch, let me say one thing. I think you're right.
Sure.
The irony of it is, the only people, if you think about this, and an argument can be made that this is a correct statement, the only people who can stop a nuclear war are international Zionists. They're running the show here. Think about it.
Yes, they are. They are.
All right,
go ahead. It's all in their hands. The election's in their hands. So, to understand this, let me point out, in the book Art of War, the Chinese strategist Sun Tzu said, if you know yourself and you know your enemy, you will win 1,000 battles. If you want to survive what's coming, the first thing you need to realize is that what you understand about America and America's enemies is only what the American government and news media has told you. So you will lose in all the battles that are coming in your life.
Right.
Okay. If you want to improve your chances of survival, you should understand us, and you should understand our enemies. Don't die in self-deception. So I have just published a book called The Final Wars, How to Survive the Coming Civil War in America, World War III, and the Collapse of Civilization, available at Amazon. It is not merely a survival guide, but also helps you see through all the propaganda and brainwashing. This book is different than any other survival book because it deals with mental preparation for what's coming. It's like having a Defense Intelligence Agency briefing telling the truth about America, Israel, Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea so that you can understand the dynamics of how and why a nuclear war will happen. Okay? So let me start tonight by going to the Zelensky victory plan. Because this is what precedes the new Russian nuclear posture. Because these are very important points about what's going on. So the four main points of the Zelensky victory plan are, one, the continuation of Kiev's incursion to Kursk, two, Western security guarantees for Ukraine, three, the delivery of modern weapons and restrictions removed from the use of those weapons, and four, international financial assistance for Ukraine. And what Zelensky said on September 26th at the UN, he said, and I quote, Russia can only be forced into peace, and that is exactly what is needed. Forcing Russia into peace as the sole aggressor in this war, the sole violator of the UN Charter. This is delusional. It's delusional, okay? Zelensky says it is not about negotiating with Russia. It is about strengthening Ukraine. The Ukrainian invasion of Kursk is to give the appearance of activity by the Ukrainians. It is a waste of Ukrainian lives. Zelensky is a showman, and if he can show an invasion, that to him is success. The actual success of the invasion is irrelevant to him. In fact, the Kursk salient is a Russian kill box. Remember that the objective of an army is to destroy the enemy's army. Ukraine is far from destroying the Russian army. The Russian army, however, has already destroyed 3 Ukrainian combat brigades in Kursk already.
Do you know what the number of dead is, Mitch, that I've heard? It's somewhere in excess of 18,000 dead in the Kursk invasion.
I think that could be accurate because it was weeks ago when it was already 5,300 at the beginning. So that sounds realistic. Okay.
So I've been tracking it. I think that's probably very close.
Yeah, I believe so. That sounds right. The appearance of offensive operations is more important than the effectiveness of the operation. It is for show. The cost of the appearance of offensive operation is that of the Ukrainian forces are spread thin on the Donbass front, and every day Ukraine is losing ground. This is very much American thinking of putting appearances over substance. It is a losing strategy. America has never won anything with this strategy. What Zelensky wants to do is fire missiles far into the Russian heartland and kill masses of people and do grievous damage so that the Russians will tire of war and turn on Putin. Russia must be beaten, not be negotiated with. Even these attacks will be to give the appearance of success, while it will actually change nothing on the ground. So why the appearance of offensive operations? It is for the sake of psychological preparation for Americans to accept the nuclear confrontation that is coming.
That makes
you
sense.
You can see the propaganda chatter already picking up. News stories demonstrating Russia's weakness and lack of resolve in order to justify America pushing against the Russian red lines. Yesterday, Finland's President Alexander Stubb said, the more Russia threatens with nuclear weapons, the less likely they are to use them. That is delusional. Okay.
This guy's nuts. That's crazy.
He's condescending and
nuts.
Smug. Yes.
Of course. Well, he'll get his ass handed to him someday. The latest stats. As per the statement, Ukrainian army's death toll has now surpassed 15,300 in the Kursk battle. This figure follows the elimination of hundreds of Ukrainian soldiers during Russian military actions. This is back on September 21st. So we're at September 30th now, October 1st, and I think it's over 18,000 now. But whatever. Zelensky has no problem. Yeah. He's liquidated well over 1 million Christian Ukrainian men. We know that.
Yeah,
and women.
Sure.
A lot of women drafted, just blown to smithereens. Mm-hmm. Same old thing. The irony of this is Kursk is still there. I can't believe that the Russians haven't broomed them out. But I still don't believe that they haven't pushed that line of combat along the Donbass area all the way to Kiev and beyond. I just don't get it. But whatever. Here's another history.
You know what? That'll pick up steam, Jeff.
I think Russia could have ended this. Yes, I know, but I think the attrition is the loss.
Army, which is their job. That's what the objective is.
That's correct. My point is, I look at this a little differently. I look at this as white Christian Ukrainian men drafted and liquidated. I don't find any military sense to that. It's sheer massacring of Christian men and women by a Zionist regime. That's my take on it.
Yeah.
And I don't see why the Russians couldn't have gone in there and just closed it all down a year and a half ago. I'm sure they could have. There's something going on here that we'll never know about. But let me do this historically, just for fun. Many of you who are students of history understand the Battle of Kursk. That's World War II. That was one of the big turning points against Germany. Germany had the best army in terms of man for man, no question about it, in World War II. The Soviets simply buried them with human flesh. The Germans could not kill the Soviet hordes fast enough. That is a fact. Look it up. Do your research. Here are the German and Soviet army losses in the Battle of Kursk, same place, in World War II. The Soviet army lost 700,000 dead in the Battle of Kursk. The Germans lost 200,000 dead. They couldn't kill them fast enough. Tanks and artillery. The Soviet army lost 6,000 tanks and artillery pieces. The Germans lost between 600 and 1,600. Aircraft. The Soviets lost 1,100 estimated. The Germans lost between 5 and 600. So to give you an idea of the overwhelming odds the Germans faced, they lost the Battle of Kursk, but the Soviets paid the price because Stalin just kept sending the hordes in to die, like Zelensky is doing in Ukraine. It's the same mentality. That's the way I see
it. But they're not
going to
have victory. They're not going to have victory. That's the difference.
No.
The Ukrainians don't have any hope of victory. Let me just add that the Battle of Kursk was the largest armored battle or tank battle in history. And there probably won't be another battle that big again. That's the biggest there ever was and probably the biggest.
And the Germans knocked out over 6,000 Soviet tanks. Yeah. An artillery piece, 6,000, while losing between 600 and 1,600. No one is exactly sure. That's an astonishing feat on the battlefield, what the Germans did.
Yes, it is. Yep, but the Germans didn't have anything to lose. That was the problem. The Soviets had inexhaustible resources.
Inexhaustible. And precisely correct.
Right. So, Ukraine doesn't have inexhaustible resources, okay? Russia very badly out-resources them right now. So the Western press will put out more and more propaganda to the effect that Russia is falling apart and Putin is becoming unhinged. Just like they're saying in the news now that Trump is becoming unhinged because he's terrified that he's going to lose against Harris. But this is unrealistic. In both counts, it's unrealistic. With this line of propaganda, they hope to say that if Russia does go nuclear, it was because Putin became unhinged and irrationally started a nuclear war. Now let me give you a different picture, the real picture. This is I'm going to tell you the new Russian nuclear posture. So Russia knows that drones were fired from Finland to attack the Russian naval base at Murmansk, and that a missile was fired from Estonia to attack a major ammunition depot northwest of Moscow. They know this because both of these installations are too far from Ukraine for Ukraine to have fired these missiles from Ukrainian territory. It's just impossible. It's ridiculous to believe that they did so. Not only that, but they've tracked where the missiles came from in Estonia and in Finland. Russia also knows that the Storm Shadow and ATACMS missiles that are fired requires both NATO intelligence and NATO soldiers to fire them deep into Russian territory. Putin has made crystal clear that if the UK and US approve the long-range attacks by Ukraine on Russia, he will consider the NATO directly at war with Russia. You see, if Ukrainian troops could actually fire the missiles now, they would just do it. It is American British troops that must fire them, and they will not do it without permission of their governments. So this is the new change to the nuclear posture of Russia. One, Russia will treat aggression against Russia by any non-nuclear state, but with the participation or support of a nuclear state as a joint attack that crosses the nuclear threshold. This means any action by Ukraine, Estonia, or Finland, or by any other state with American involvement. For example, last week, the Ukrainians bombed an ammunition storage area at Tikhachevsk, south of Moscow, destroying 2,000 tons of ammunition that included a large shipment of ammunition from North Korea.
That's a, that was a big, a big, excuse me, Mitch, that was a big loss. It can't be overestimated. It contained also S-300 missile systems, S-400 missile systems, and God only knows what else. There was a lot lost there. How did the Ukrainians do that without U.S. help? They didn't. They got exact, precise guidance and all the rest. Go ahead.
Ukraine had no means of tracking that shipment from North Korea to the south of Moscow by rail.
No.
But the United States, the United States does have that capability. And right. that is geospatial intelligence, basically.
They can
do it. Okay, so Russia knows this was a direct attack on Russia by the United States. Two, Russia hereby clearly states the conditions under which Russia can proceed to use nuclear weapons, which includes the receipt of reliable information about a massive launch of air and space attack weapons and their crossing our state border. This includes strategic and tactical aircraft, cruise missiles, drones, hypersonic, and other aircraft. Okay, the attack on Murmansk was from Finland, and the attack on the ammunition plant northwest of Moscow was by cruise missiles from Estonia. Okay, and pay attention to this. If Russia receives reliable information about a massive launch of air and space attack weapons, okay, and crossing their borders, that is if, this is not, doesn't mean that they are necessarily going to wait for us to fire those long-range missiles. If they receive reliable information that it's going to happen, they can launch a nuclear war. That means if Biden says, okay, Ukraine, you're allowed to fire those missiles deep into Russia. If we agree to let them do it, that is the reliable information. Okay. So three, an attack on Belarus is counted as an attack on Russia. Okay, now this is important. Okay, the attack on the 23rd Arsenal northwest of Moscow at Oktyabrsky was where Belarusia had sent 94 containers full of Belarusian anti-aircraft missiles by rail to be refurbished. This was a major blow to Belarusian air defenses, which would be a critical advantage for NATO air power in a war with Russia.
This is
Ukrainian
a big deal.
Intelligence. Ukrainian intelligence does not have the capability to track these rail shipments.
No.
But it is easy for the USA. We have the satellite imagery to track this and the North Korean shipment. Russia knows this. So Russia knows this was an American attack. Putin put Belarusia under his nuclear umbrella because it is obvious that the attack on the missile storage area had nothing to do with helping Ukraine, which is not at war with Belarusia, but a great advantage to NATO in a direct war with Russia. So this is an attack on Belarusia, okay, to knock it out as a defensive, air defensive sector that they have to pass over to get to Russia.
Right.
Okay. So this was a NATO.
When did this shipment?
On a Russian
when did
ally.
This? When did this shipment get hit? I missed that story. When did that happen?
You remember the story? It was just a week ago. It was a big like mushroom cloud over a big ammunition.
Oh, that was. I thought that was a Russian ammo depot that went up.
It was the missile depot. There's two of them, Jeff. There's the one south of Moscow in Krasnodar area that had the North Korean ammunition, and then there was the missiles, the anti-aircraft defense missiles. That was preparation for war against Russia.
View it any other way? You can't. No, I agree.
Only thing is, you've got to remember, the American press is not telling us what happened. Okay.
Oh, no.
That's
no, I had to look for it. I had to look and search.
Yeah. So please keep in mind that the United States has stated clearly and officially that America's objective is to overthrow the Putin regime and break Russia up into 17 smaller republics that America can control. We say this repeatedly, okay? So the Russians are aware that we say this, okay? Russia, on the other hand, has said that it wants Ukraine neutral, but has no plans to invade NATO, overthrow NATO governments, nor break the United States or any other nation into smaller pieces so they can control them. Russia wants peace in the world and would like to do business with everyone. They'll be so economically well off if there was peace and they could trade with everyone. They would be so well off, and that is exactly what the global elites and the Western global elite Zionist rich people. This is what they fear. They don't want Russia or China becoming really wealthy. They got to keep them down. It's for the benefit of a very few people. Okay. So Russia has also made clear that it must resort to nuclear war. It will not just be in Europe. Russia will definitely strike the United States, Canada, the Bahamas, Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, Japan, and South Korea. Russia is talking about total war. Russia will do what their war objective is, to destroy their enemies' militaries, governments, economies, finances, trade, and societies. U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken responded to all this by saying, quote, "It is totally irresponsible to rattle the nuclear saber like that." That's his comment. In other words, Blinken's not taking the Russians seriously. It's like, Blinken, oh, you shouldn't talk like that. That's what this woke soy like boy faggot has to say about, you know.
They're like children. They're like little children.
Yeah, they are like little kids. Yeah.
Sickening.
We're in real NATO trouble. General Secretary Jens Stoltenberg has also said openly that Russia will never launch a nuclear weapon. That is just posturing, is what our NATO Secretary General says. Okay, so understanding why Russia most certainly will use nuclear weapons, and this is important, okay? People need to look at the big picture here. If you go west of Russia, you run into Norway, Finland, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, Slovakia, Hungary, and Romania. It's all NATO countries, okay? If you go east of Russia, you run into Alaska, Japan, and South Korea, all U.S. allies. If you go straight north from Russia, over the pole, okay, what do you run into? NATO. It's Norway, Greenland, Canada, and America. So they're surrounded on three sides. They're contained on three sides of us. So what do they have open? They have the south open. Well, in the east, they have China to their south. But what is America doing to China? We are containing them with the first, second, and third island chain. We have got, we're trying to brew a color revolution in Indonesia to cut China off directly to the south, okay? And this color revolution in Indonesia has been at peace for like a decade. Before that, they had civil war going on like crazy, hundreds of thousands of people being slaughtered, okay? If America sparks this color revolution in Indonesia, a million people could lose their lives. For what? For what? You know? So that we can make China and Russia destroy their patriarchies and them accept gay sex,
as the
and feminism.
As the years and the months go by, the old saw that the United States is the great Satan sticks. We are.
Yes.
All we do is involve ourselves in the organized chaos and death of countless people. This is really sickening. Look at the American Constitution and how outrageous the treason, the depravity of these people is sickening beyond measure. Go ahead.
So you know, India is just not going along with us against Russia and China. So what we did is we overthrew the government in Bangladesh to destabilize India. We also are supporting guerrillas in the mountains, what they call the Kuki Republics, which are in Assam in the east of India, and then in the Kachin people in Burma, we're giving them guns and money to fight against the Burmese. And this is all an anti-China blocking movement to the south, okay? So this is important. Now if we go directly south of Russia in the west, it's a different story. Okay, if you go from Israel to Saudi Arabia, we have this line of allies blocking Russia to the south. Only thing is between Russia and this bloc that we already have, there's Iran and Syria, okay? And, you know, here's the bottom line. And Ukraine. Ukraine is directly to Russia's south. If Ukraine becomes a part of NATO, Russia is dead. Russia is over. Russia would be committing suicide to allow Ukraine to go in to NATO. This, Jeff, will cause a nuclear war. Russia might as well go to nuclear war rather than let America take Iran, take Syria, or take Ukraine. They will not allow it.
That's another reason, Mitch, and I don't have one one-hundredth of your background, your knowledge, your wisdom. I don't understand why Putin and his influencers, and they're there, has allowed this thing to go on as long as it has in Ukraine. He should have flattened this country. If Russia, with its magnificent military, its ultra-advanced tech, is still fighting trench warfare along the line of combat, after, what is it, 1,000 days? I don't know what
something.
It is. Go ahead.
You know, Putin actually believes in God. He actually believes in Christ. He does not want to destroy the world. He doesn't want to destroy civilization, humanity.
Understood. He's been forced to kill over a million Ukrainian Christians already. Yeah.
We keep mistaking Putin's patience for weakness. And it is not weakness, it is patience.
No, okay? I agree.
He doesn't want to push the button. But he will, if we back him into a corner, he will do it. He will do it. This you're seeing right now with these new nuclear posture, he's warning the West. This is it. If you continue, boom, it's over. Okay.
Well, we know the West wants that. The communist West wants that.
The global elite wants that. They want 7.5 million people dead. They want it. Okay. But you know, Putin is trying to hold that off. If he can get it by other means, by being patient, he would like to. So in view of this grand strategy, the containment of Russia and China, you can see that for sure that Russia is not bluffing, okay? It's like Stoltenberg and the president of Finland and Blinken. These people are just pure evil. I mean, they're saying, oh, Russia won't do it because it's for what they want. It's not what's for good for the people in America. It's not what's good for the people in Europe. It's for their own Marxist, woke, satanic, Zionist desires. Okay, that is what it's for. We do not matter. So today, Putin clarified things even more. Under some circumstances, Russia may consider a proxy war against itself as justification for using nuclear weapons. He explains that the old nuclear doctrine applied when nuclear powers would not attack each other because of fear of massive retaliatory strike. But the war in Ukraine has created a new reality. The West is waging war against Russia through a proxy state that shows little regard for its own self-preservation. Now, catch this, is Putin talking. The West is waging war against Russia through a proxy state that shows little regard for its own self-preservation. Okay, in other words, it's not Ukraine, it's America that's doing this war. Okay, there are attacks on Russia's strategic nuclear forces, nuclear attack warning radars, and anti-ICBM air defense systems. Such aggression is officially recognized as triggers for a nuclear response. The goal is for Ukraine to use isolated drone attacks conducted by a proxy force to undermine Russia's nuclear doctrine. After all, NATO reasons that Putin would not start a nuclear war over one drone crashing near a strategic bomber base. What about 2 grains or more? These are salami slicing tactics. Russia is winning its war of attrition with Ukraine. So the United States wants to disrupt this trend by increasing the costs, but keeping everything within its present boundaries. This is why the U.S. resorts to the salami tactics. Russia is saying clearly that if you try to destroy us by means of proxy force, we will destroy both the proxy and you. The only solid agreement between Biden and Putin is that NATO long-range missiles will not be used deep into Russia. By striking deep into Russia, both sides know that it will not change the outcome of the war. Changing that will lead to a nuclear response, period. NATO must understand this. Russia is crystal clear on this. This is an ultimatum. If we do it, there will be nuclear war. To be very clear, Russia will certainly launch a nuclear attack if Russia loses the military initiative. Two, if Russian victory in Ukraine isn't possible by conventional means. Three, if the U.S. arms the proxy state Ukraine to an extent that would change the course of the conflict. The U.S. must stay on the sidelines watching as Ukraine gradually loses the war, in other words. As the situation on the Donbass front deteriorates, the Ukrainians will resort to more desperate measures, like the Moscow terrorist attack that killed 145, invading Kursk province, and blowing up ammunition depots, all things that the Russians know the Americans planned and supported. And launching attacks on strategic missile deployment sites and nuclear missile early warning radars. That, in other words, what he's saying here, let me clear this up, is attacks on Russia's strategic nuclear weapons depots, launch sites, early warning radars and stuff is a nuclear attack on Russia, okay? And they will respond with nuclear weapons. To be clear, Russia will not launch a nuclear attack on Ukraine alone. If it decides to nuke Ukraine, it will nuke the U.S. and NATO at the same time. And he's made it clear, even if you're a non-nuclear nation like Poland or Germany, he's going to nuke you, okay? In addition, so this is it. But you know, Putin probably is not going to initiate this nuclear war before the election. He's going to be patient to see if Trump will actually stop the war in Ukraine. Okay, so there's a more dangerous thing afoot now. Okay, more likely to lead to a nuclear war in the short term. Okay.
What's
that? Today, Israel launched a ground attack into Lebanon. Yeah. The UN has not approved this invasion. It can quickly spiral out of control. Israel also uses salami slicing tactics in order to avoid major confrontations, sort of death by a thousand cuts. This is because Israel is not strong enough for a major confrontation. If Iran is dragged into the war, then the U.S. might get into the war and attack Iran directly, which will bring Russia into the war also, okay? So, I've spoken before, and even speak in my book about how, it's very clear. Putin is not going to give up, Russia is not going to give up Ukraine, is not going to give up Iran, is not going to give up Syria. Not only that, but listen to this. If something happens to Putin, whoever takes his place is not going to give it up either, okay? American press makes it look like, oh, it's all up to Putin. Well, it's not. The Russian people are behind him. The Russian leadership is behind him, okay? They're not going to betray their country for NATO, it's absurd. Israel is doing its salami slicing thing. I mean, they killed Ismail Haniyeh, the Hamas leader in Tehran. They just killed Hassan Nasrallah, Hezbollah leader in Beirut. So they got two more to go. That's Ali Khamenei in Iran and Abu Jabril, the head of the Houthis in Yemen.
Khamenei's been moved to safe location in Iran. They've gotten him out.
I imagine. Okay. It would be sort of foolish of him to not moved to a safe location.
He was removed several days ago.
Yeah.
Put into a safe place. You know, people got to remember, and they don't, because the media covers it up. This is a U.S.-Israeli operation, all of it. It's our planes, our bombs,
sure,
our advanced tech. Everybody knows it. We bankroll everything that the Israelis do. And I've read very serious articles about how much we've given Israel since 1947, how much has actually been paid back. And friends, it ain't much, if any. Not paid back.
Well, you know, listen, here's a fact that people have to understand. Okay, so I'm a Christian, and I understand the Antichrist is anyone who does not acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, okay? And it says, in that same definition, it says, whoever does not have the Son does not have the Father. To me, Israel and the Jews are the Antichrist. To me, Palestine and the Muslims are the Antichrist, because they both fit this definition. So how clear do people have to understand, to get real here? Okay, I am not an Israeli, and I am not a Jew. I'm not a Palestinian, and I'm not a Muslim. But, well, you know what I am? I'm an American, and I'm a Christian. What does that have to do with Israel and Palestine? Why should we die? Why should we pay for this struggle between
these one American life is worth that. No, nothing.
No, one drop of American blood is worth it.
No. And here's another aspect. Look, Islam has been around a long time. I get it. I've read about it. I understand the history. You cannot have a religion like that in this day and age that practices female genital mutilation. You can't.
Oh, no.
It doesn't work. No. It's nuts. This is all crazy. No, it doesn't work. Anyway, go ahead. It just boggles my mind.
Well, no. I mean, it's true. I mean, neither the Muslims nor the Jews accept Jesus as the Christ. So, you know, just people wake up. God is not on either one of their side. God is not on Israel's side. God is not on the Jews' side. You know, listen, when Christ died on the cross, his final words is, "It is finished." That meant that his sacrifice on the cross was everything. You don't have to do sacrifices in this third temple with these red heifers. That is nothing to God. Okay, Christ was it. He was the final sacrifice. He was everything. So in this narrative between Muslims and Jews, listen, that's not America's narrative. Okay, I know they've imported as many millions of Muslims as they could to America in order to make it our narrative, but it is not our narrative. You know, I go down to the VA and I talk to other soldiers whose health is wrecked because of these wars, and they resent having their bodies and their health destroyed for Israel. And they see it. They see that now. They did not see it when they were young men on the battlefields in Iraq and Afghanistan. But as old men, as time has passed, they see that they were scammed. They were conned. They ruined their health for Israel. And they resent it.
Let me ask you another question.
To the Muslim countries. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Understood. As a tactician, as a strategist, the Russians had to go in to Ukraine. We understand that. Just like Hitler had to go into Poland in 1939. Read the history. They were slaughtering thousands of German men, women, and children. Pictures everywhere. And the outrage in Germany was over the top. So he had to go in and stop it. Okay. The war in Ukraine between Russia and the Zionist regime running that country, Zelensky, the Jew, Zionist, has gone on now 2 years and 7 months. And I'm supposed to believe that the Russians cannot end that war against that country, which has no air force, no air superiority, nothing in the air, and it's got no virtually first-rate trained troops left. These are poor draftees and women. They're just slaughtering them. Over a million.
But
the Russians can't end this war, Mitch? Really?
You got to understand what's going on here, okay? So Russia has been killing the Ukrainian army off on the cheap. They haven't spent a lot of their soldiers' lives to accomplish it. They've paid very cheap price.
What do you think the casualty amount for Russia is? 75?
I think it's around 70,000. 70,000, okay. Roughly. You know, so it's been very cheap for them. Okay, so just think of this. If I can beat this Ukrainian army down even more and make it weaker and weaker, poor morale, no supplies, no food,
right.
And I get them very weak, and then I launch my attack, it'll be a walk in the park. Then on the offensive, I'm not going to lose a lot of people. Okay, so I would always want to weaken my enemy. I wouldn't want to, it's Sun Tzu, basically. Don't attack your enemy when they're strong. Attack your enemy when they're weak.
Well, I do understand
that. Russia knows Ukraine is weak now.
Yes, I understand.
They know that they're weak now.
Okay, 2 years and 7 months?
So what we're looking at now is, they're in the fall there now. So I'm not overly impressed with the progress they're making, although they are making progress. But Jeff, they're making progress as light infantry because it's muddy. So this is not the time for heavy armored forces.
It's not strategic in the sense that we're used to. I get it.
Right.
I get it.
But when winter comes on and the ground freezes, then they can move armor and heavy equipment over the same thing. Right now, you wouldn't want to. Right now, if you want to take some wheat fields and some little villages, you can do it with light infantry. That's okay, all right, because they're not going to get bogged down in the mud. But just think between now and the freezes, what's going to happen is Ukrainian army is going to be weak. Ukraine, they put on this show in Kursk. Russia knows that this is a show, and they've just set up a kill box there. Yeah, let them do it. Let them pour more in there. Let them throw lives away up there, because what they've done is they have taken people away from the Donbass front to do this sideshow. And it's actually very poor strategy. It's stupid strategy, actually. And just like Napoleon said, never correct your enemy when they're making a mistake. Russia sees them making a mistake and wants them to. Okay? So this just weakens the Ukrainian army so that when the freeze comes in, they can make the move. Russia knows that it's already won the war. Okay? It's just that Ukraine hasn't realized it yet, and Russia wants to make sure their new nuclear posture is to make sure that NATO and the United States do not interfere with the progress that Russia is making. The Russians know, and the Americans know, that if we just start murdering people in Russia with these deep missiles and stuff like that, it will make no difference. It is not going to make Ukraine win. It's just going to kill a lot of people senselessly.
Well, the Ukrainians have made it quite publicly clear that their number one goal is to kill as many Russians as in civilians as possible.
Of course.
They've made it real clear. This whole thing is, to me, the big bonus that no one's talking about is the R&D that is being perfected in this living battlefield for all of the Russian military-industrial complex contractors who are out making new weapon systems. The Russians are learning a lot, and their military is being advanced every hour of the day. 600,000 more members are being put into the Russian military now. Why? Because of World War III right around the corner. 600,000 more being added.
Keep in mind that Russia has fallout shelters stocked with food, medicine, water, for 80% of its population. America has the same thing for 0.05% of our population.
No, we're
only
quite expendable.
The people sitting in the Pentagon and sitting in D.C. are going to get us all murdered, those are the people that will be in these shelters.
Correct. Totally correct. And the American people just can't seem to figure it out. They can't. No, we believe civil defense here whatsoever.
We believe what the news media, we believe what the government tells us. We believe
not
it.
Our generation,
basically,
we didn't. This younger
did,
generation
you know?
Does. But no, they believe what's on their cell phone screens, and that's about it. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. That's about it. I mean, listen, somebody can listen to me and think, oh, this guy is so anti-American and stuff. I'm not anti-American. I'm very pro-American. I'm very realistic. I don't want to live in Russia.
Never.
I'm an American, and I want to live in America. But I don't want America to be a sissy, Marxist, faggot state. I don't want that, okay? I don't want the government impoverishing the people and having sex with their kids, which is what our government does. Our government is evil, okay? I am not. By being an American does not mean I support these Marxists in any way. I was a Cold Warrior. 28 years I spent in the Army fighting against Marxism.
Right.
You know, I am not going to serve these people. You know, I will not do it. If a foreign power lands troops on our soil and attacks us, I will be out there fighting them just like anybody else. Okay. But the people who are murdering us, the people who are enslaving us, are in Washington, D.C. They're not in China. They're not in Russia. They're not in Iran. And they're not in North Korea. They're in Washington, D.C.
Can we also look at it this way? Those murderers in Washington, D.C., occupying the seats of our allegedly representative government, which is long gone, that regime in Washington, D.C., is now literally building and locating armies within the formerly United States. These armies of invaders from over 40 countries are ready to fight and kill Americans on command. I'm not talking just about Chinese, just about any other country in particular.
You're correct, because remember previously I was talking
That's their army. The regime in Washington has its own army.
You were going to literal warfare in order to control Americans. Well, I just saw a blurb the other day. There's actually this thing called the 3rd Marine Literal Warfare Brigade. They actually have the name on them of literal warfare. Literal means like coastal and riverine, okay? Because when everything collapses, they're going to try to seize the major port cities and stuff, and then like oil spots go spread inland from there. Secure the coastal port cities first, then move inland, okay? Because when it's all over, they're thinking they can just come and impose this new world order on us and stuff. Thank God there's 380 million firearms in America that hopefully will say no to that bullshit.
Yeah. Well, the simple fact is we have been sold out, betrayed. Treason is everywhere now in this country. And I'm sorry, that's a fact. And there's no one going to hold these bastards accountable. They're going to get away with it. Because they've got their own army here now. You know, they've got 20 million at least who've been brought in here since Obama. And how many in the last 10 million in the last 4 years?
Noticed.
10 million. We only have 1.3.
Federal judges have said these illegal aliens have a right to bear arms.
In
Springfield, Ohio, they had this young woman who worked in a gun shop, and she said that these Haitians come in and buy guns, and they're illegal aliens, and they run it through ATF, and ATF says, no, just go ahead and sell it to them.
Wow.
Sell it to them. Illegal aliens. It's against the law. It's against federal law to do that. Okay?
Well,
and there
like I say,
a federal
been,
judge, yes,
our
a federal judge in Minnesota said that she dismissed cases on an illegal alien with a gun, saying that they have a Second Amendment right to have guns. So they are arming these people, okay?
I know. That's the army of the regime in D.C., I'm telling you.
Yep.
And by extension, the globalists at the WEF and whatever other organization you want to point to, they have an army here. They're building it right in front of us. We only have 1.3 total million in the American military. 1.3. And now we have about 10 million in the last 4 years brought in here who will take up arms against Americans.
Well, at this point, I'm sad to say that the United States Army, Marine Corps, Air Force, Coast Guard, Navy, they will gun down Americans on orders. It's not
I'm
the same
right.
military that we had in
no.
the past. These people
no.
will hunt you down and kill you. Okay?
Correct.
They're not here to protect us. They're here to put the iron boot on us, is what they're here for.
It's really beyond words. Horrible. Mitchell, thank you for the wisdom, the observations. We appreciate it as always. Talk to you next week. Be safe out there.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
All right. You bet. Mitchell Henderson, one of the most unique voices in the world speaking about these matters. Hope you're learning. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for tonight. Thank you for being here. Back with you tomorrow night on Tuesday. Take care. And do try to prepare, even if it's just a little bit, because you're going to need it. All right. We'll talk soon. Thanks again. Good night.